Next, we're going to move on to business and employment and agriculture. In August, there were discussions about Wisconsin wedding barns and alcoholic beverage regulations. Is there anything we need to do to refine Wisconsin alcohol laws, or are they working well just the way they are, Dick?
I think the laws are kind of archaic. They're left over from long ago. Some of these laws were implemented right after Prohibition was lifted. But we should recognize that Wisconsin is a drinking culture. It is what it is. We come from a heritage of drinking. We're Polish people. We're Germans and Irish. These were all drinking cultures. We have lots of other nationalities as well. I respect these cultures, even if I don't mention them by name. The Tavern League wants reassurance that they are not doomed if the laws are revised. The laws need revision, and doing this revision, I think, is really complex, and it affects a lot of different types of shareholders and groups. But here's what I think about some of the issues. First of all, if a family is having an event of their own, and it's once a year, I think they should be able to bring their own liquor into the event. I don't think they should be regulated. If a barn's been remodeled and it's serving alcohol on a regular basis and they're doing events, wedding events, whatever, I think they should be licensed to do that and have to follow those regulations.
Okay.
Another issue is wineries and breweries, if they produce their own wine or beer, they shouldn't be required to buy that back from a distributor. So some of the laws say that if you're a winery or a brewery, you have to sell your beer or wine to a distributor, and then they sell it back to you. I think that's wrong.
Okay.
Finally, if a winery wants to serve wine at their own venue later in the evening, I think they should be allowed to do this. Right now, I think wineries are forced to close at 9 p.m. I think they should be allowed to have later hours. And I think people who want to sip on fine wine are not the same people who go to taverns, and I don't think that should upset or bother the Tavern League.
Okay, good. Dick, many Wisconsin farms and industrial employers rely on immigrant workers. What is your stance on this topic?
Well, my grandparents came from Ireland and they came from Poland. So my parents were the children of immigrants. In my own medical practice, I have Mexican immigrants that I see, and these parents bring their kids in at the end of the day because both of the parents are working full-time, and they're doing the kind of work, frankly, that white Americans refuse to do. And these people, in my experience, they're not gang members or anything close to it. They're doing the work that white Americans don't want to do. They're taking care of their kids, and they're going to church. And for me, this is just my experience with immigrants in this area. On a national basis, though, I think there's four policies which can help benefit the immigration issue. First, immigration at the border should be orderly, and it should be legal and humane. Right now, we have a big mess down in Mexico with people who want to barge across the border. I don't think that should happen. If that happens, it's just going to irritate both sides of the fence. This matters because public perception of disorder at the border fuels anti-immigrant sentiment. Secondly, immigrants should be encouraged to work. Third, they should be encouraged to fit into our culture. It's known that 60% of foreign-born Latinos mostly speak Spanish, but their kids only speak Spanish 6%, so 94% of them use English as their primary language. So that first generation may not fit in, but the second generation does.
Time on this one.
Fourth, immigrants should be seen to pay their own way. They shouldn't be seen of abusing the system. Migration has made America the innovation hub of the world. Immigrants are twice as likely as natives to start their own business, and more than 40% of the Fortune 500 companies were either founded by an immigrant or the child of an immigrant.
Okay, good. Dick, Foxconn has been a hot button topic. What impact on taxes and economics does Foxconn have on us in the 6th District?
Well, First of all, I really think it's an environmental disaster. In the year 2000, there was a Canadian company that wanted to suck water out of the Great Lakes and export that to Asia. But we produced laws that prevented that. We started the Great Lakes Compact, which was a consortium of states and Canadian provinces that said, we can't be doing this to our fresh water. The Great Lakes contain 20% of the world's fresh water. So Foxconn, as you know, may be sucking with a giant straw 8 to 15 million gallons of water out of the Lake Michigan per day when they get operational. And frankly, this violates the Great Lakes Compact. And since we allow it for Foxconn, when the next business comes along, you know, why wouldn't they do the same thing? So that's an issue. In any event, the direct cost to each man, woman, and child in our area is about $600 per person. So for a family of four, that means you and me are going to be paying around $2,400 for Foxconn. That's going to come out of your taxes. We are not seeing any of that. That's $2,400 per family that we're going to have to pay. And yet, we can't get decent internet coverage out in the country where I live. I live in a rural area. We get lousy internet. So we see all these tax dollars being sucked away, sent down south, and yet we're stuck here without good internet, which we need for business purposes and education. So I'd say it's great. It's a great deal for the people south of Milwaukee, but I think it's really bad for our taxpayers, anyone who lives north of Milwaukee.
Okay. Our next topic deals with drugs. On opioids, how do we create a safe separation from those who truly need opioids from a medical standpoint and those who abuse these drugs?
Okay. Well, you're talking to the right guy. So, you know, I see a lot of our legislators and leaders talking about how many committees they are on regarding the opioid crisis. I see this all the time. I just think it's a lot of hot air. What I'm doing right now is working with two other doctors in the Green Bay area and with a large healthcare company to start an opiate treatment clinic, first in Green Bay, and then I hope to bring that clinic out to Shawano. The problem, part of the problem with the opiate crisis is that people who are in crisis and their families are also in crisis. It's not just the person who's addicted to the opiate. They don't have any money. They've lost their job. They don't have a car. And then we tell them to get treatment. And you know what? There's no treatment facilities or very limited treatment here in Shawano. So I'm a boots-on-the-ground kind of guy with this deal. I'm undergoing my training right now. Last week I was in Milwaukee working with an addiction psychiatrist to learn the ropes, and I'm going to do ongoing training for October and November to obtain my license to be able to prescribe maintenance therapy for opiate addicted people. So really, boots on the ground.
Good. Okay. What's your stance on medical marijuana, and I guess in what form?
Well, I'm going to talk about medical marijuana and also recreational marijuana.
Okay.
The state of Colorado, we all know, has legalized recreational marijuana. And last year, they received about $250 million in tax revenue from use of marijuana. So as a doctor, frankly, I don't want to even prescribe medical marijuana. There are certain people who may benefit from that, but I think it's being, it was abused in a lot of the states who use medical marijuana first. So people who are undergoing cancer chemotherapy, I think marijuana has a real use. But then there were many people who abused the medical marijuana. They would go into the doctor or provider and say, I have a headache. The only thing that works is marijuana. You need to prescribe marijuana. And the doctor would maybe prescribe that. Frankly, I don't want to be in that morass. I don't want to do that. So if we're going to have marijuana in our state, I really think we should just legalize it, use the tax benefits that we get from that to provide funding for a couple areas. We should provide funding for mental health, and we should provide funding for drug treatment programs. We should use that money. We should just legalize it. It's the same thing that happened with alcohol and prohibition. When prohibition was occurring, everybody was still drinking. And I think some of that same thing is happening where people who are using marijuana, they're going to use it whether they buy it legitimately or illegitimately. I think we should take it out of the hands of criminals and drug pushers, legalize it, and use those tax benefits.
Okay. Good.